Good evening and welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for December the 12th. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Glover, who is out of town. We'll begin this meeting typically with an invocation. I didn't notice that is Dr. Campson from the Baha'i Faith present today? I don't see that he's here. So we'll begin with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance that will be led by Councilmember Thompson. So please rise with me and join in a moment of silence. Thank you. Councilmember Thompson.
Please join me in a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. The first item on our agenda is the reading of the consent agenda. Mr. Christopher, thank you for coming forward to read that consent agenda. We do have several requests to speak tonight. One of those comes from agenda item 6C, Barbara Eads. Barbara, are you present? It's my understanding you don't wish to have this pulled from the consent agenda. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure. So we'll have you speak under items from citizens present at the end of the meeting. Okay? Thank you for your patience. Thank you. Mr. Christopher.
Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or a citizen request, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Items 3A and 3B act on liquor license applications for Ultimate Imaginations, one-day charitable events, February 3rd and January 6th on Main Street from Center Street to Robeson and McDonald from First Street to Pepper Place. Items 3C through 3G act on liquor license applications for Fountain of the Sun Community Association, one-day civic events, January 2nd, February 11th, February 22nd, March 1st, and March 22nd, 560 South 80th Street. Items 3H through 3J act on liquor license applications for Venture Out Social Club Incorporated, one-day fraternal events, December 23rd, March 11th, and March 24th, 5001 East Main Street. Item 3K act on liquor license application for Nile Theater, 105 West Main Street. Item 3L act on liquor license application for Winco Foods, 1235 South Power Road. Item 4A, act on two-year renewal of term contract for procurement card program services for citywide departments as requested by the Business Services Department. Item 4B, act on three-year term contract for replacement automated vehicle location equipment and related services for various city departments. Item 4C, act on contract to purchase new accident diagramming software for the police department. The initial purchase is funded by asset forfeiture RICO funds. Item 4D, act on contract to purchase upgraded camera, audio, and lighting equipment for the police department's central community room. Item 4E, act on three-year term contract for accessible pedestrian signal push buttons for the materials and supply warehouse for the transportation department. Item 4F, act on contract to purchase four additional FleetMind electronic devices for refuse collection trucks as requested by the Environmental Management and Sustainability Department. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase two new supervisory control and data acquisition servers for the new Signal Butte Water Treatment Plant as requested by the Water Resources Department. Item 4H, act on one-year term contract for water testing supplies for coliform bacteria and E. coli for the Water Resources Department. Item 4I, act on one-year term contract for analytical equipment components and related supplies for the Water Resources Department. Item 4J, act on contract for the East Valley Arterial Travel Time Map. Funding's available from the Federal Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Project Management Grants and local funds provided by the City of Mesa, City of Tempe, and Town of Gilbert. The percentage of the cost share between the agencies is based on the number of sensors in each city per the original authorized intergovernmental agreement. Item 5A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a grant agreement with the Arizona Department of Public Safety to accept Victims of Crime Act grant funds to be used for salaries and expenses for the Mesa Prosecutor's Office Victim Services Unit. Item 5B, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a third amendment to the Mesa Proving Grounds pre-annexation and development agreement with DMB Mesa Proving Grounds LLC to reallocate funds from the 2013 street and highway bonds for improvements to Elliott Road. Item 5C has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 5D, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with various cities and towns for waste collection and transportation mutual aid. Item 5E, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into the First Amendment to the development agreement and option agreement with Riverview Hotel LLC for development of hospitality and retail improvements adjacent to the Cubs spring training facilities by amending the retail reverter date and terminating the right of first refusal. Item 5F, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to approve the First Amendment to the amended and restated operations and maintenance agreement with Valley Metro Rail Incorporated. This amendment updates and creates new exhibits to provide greater clarity for the city's and Valley Metro's operation and maintenance responsibilities and makes other minor modifications to the existing agreement. Item 5G, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a real estate transfer and sales agreement with Salt River Project, which will allow for the sale of portions of city-owned property located in Tract A of Knoll East and Tract B of Carriage Lane 2, approximately 1/2 mile west of Dobson Road, adjacent to the north side of the Western Canal for a well site expansion. Item 5H, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a master agreement with Cox Communications for wireless antenna on existing structure in the right-of-way. Item 5I, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into an aerial strand-mounted equipment master agreement with Cox Communications on existing structures in the right-of-way. Item 5J, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into Schedule 7 to the customer-owned substation facilities services agreement with Salt River Project Agricultural and Power District for the design and construction of a redundant transformer at the City of Mesa's Greenfield Water Reclamation Plant's electrical substation. The total fiscal impact of this agreement will be shared with the partners, Mesa, Gilbert, and Queen Creek, subject to future reconciliation by the partners upon completion of various expansion projects at the plant. Item 5K, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into agreements with the U.S. Department of Energy Western Area Power Administration, which will allow the city's electric utility to obtain services necessary for the connection of Mesa's local distribution system to and the receipt of power and energy through the electric transmission system and also provide for the short-term transaction of power and energy supplies consistent with actual system demand. Item 5L, act on resolution approving the purchase of and authorizing the city manager or designee to enter into a contract for a year-round supply of 15 megawatts of firm electric power and associated energy for the city's electric distribution utility for a period up to 2 years. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance creating a new Mesa City Code, Title 6, Chapter 24, escort services requiring licensing for the provision of services by an escort, escort assistant, or escort bureau, and making corresponding amendments to the Mesa City Code, Title 6, Chapter 16, sexually oriented businesses, consistent with the creation of Title 6, Chapter 24. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance amending Title 9, Chapter 1, right-of-way permits of the Mesa City Code and adding pavement cut restrictions, pavement restoration fees, and other regulations concerning construction work in the city right-of-way. Item 6C, introduction of ordinance regarding Z16-054, the 2200 block of East University Drive located east of Gilbert Road on the north side of University Drive. This is a rezone and site plan review to allow for single residence development. Item 7A, act on ordinance regarding Z16-049, the 2400 to 2700 blocks of South Signal Butte Road, the 10,000 through 10,700 blocks of East Guadalupe Road, and the 2600 through 2700 blocks of South Crisman Road. This is located west of Signal Butte Road, north of Guadalupe Road, and east of Crisman Road, encompassing the entire Mulberry residential development. Rezoning the area known as Mulberry Parcel 5 and site plan review to allow for single residence development. Item 7B, act on ordinance regarding Z16-044, located east of the 200 to 400 blocks of North Power Road and south of the 6800 to 7000 blocks of East University Drive. This is located east of Power Road, south of University Drive. Rezone and site plan review to allow for development of a single residence subdivision. Item 7C, act on ordinance amending section 503.1.1 of the 2006 International Fire Code as adopted in Title 7, Chapter 2, Section 3 of the Mesa City Code. Item 7D, act on ordinance amending the Mesa City Code, Title 2, Chapter 25, Sections 1, 2, and 3, entitled Independent Commission on Compensation for Elected Officials, to increase minimum meeting and reporting time requirements and modify data collection requirements as recommended by the Commission. And item 8A, act on subdivision plat, Eastmark Development Unit 6, South Parcel 6-3, the 10,600 through 10,800 blocks of East Point 22 Boulevard on the north side, located south of the southwest corner of Elliott Road and Signal Butte Road. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher. Ms. Mickelson, have we received any additional requests to speak on the consent agenda?
No requests.
Okay, thank you. There's been a motion made by Vice Mayor Kavanaugh, seconded by Councilmember Luna. Please cast your vote.
Mayor, 7B?
Oh.
I think there was a speaker to pull that item.
Yes, I'm sorry. Was 7B read into the... Yeah, I apologize. I thought that we had previously pulled that from the consent agenda. We do have a request to speak on item 7B, so let's start over again, just so it's clear. Let's clear the vote. Item 7B is removed from the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda absent item 7B? Thank you. That's been made by the Vice Mayor and seconded by Mr. Luna. Please cast your vote. Thank you. The voting is unanimous with Mr. Glover absent. Thank you. We'll now move to the first item that was taken off the consent agenda, which is item 5C. I'll read what that item is. It's approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into addendums for two purchase and sale agreements and an amended and restated development agreement with Mesa Housing Associates 2 LLC and MHA 3 LLC for the conveyance of approximately 2 acres of real property at the 50 to 100 blocks of West First Avenue for the development of a 3-story, 24-unit market-rate housing development and a 5-story, 71-unit affordable senior housing development, or alternatively developed as a market-rate project. Smith, and I know several different staff members have worked on this, Mr. McBay. Who would be a good person from the staff to summarize what this, from a staff perspective, what it is we're discussing tonight? Just a brief overview. And then I know the applicant is here. I'll give the applicant the opportunity to come up and make any presentation you'd like to right after this. Yes, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I'll give you a brief overview, and then if you need some additional information, Mr. McVeigh can come up and give you some additional information. The city already entered into these agreements and the real estate purchase contracts. These are amendments to the existing agreements, and what they largely do is just flip the order of the development. The original development concept was that the LIHTC project was going to go first and the market rate project was going to go second. What these amendments do is simply switch the order. Which sounds simple, but it actually took a little bit of work. And so the market rate project is going to go first, and then the LIHTC project will follow second. And so that changes all the dates and a number of other provisions. And so you see that ripple through all the documents. We did an amended and restated development agreement because we thought it was just simpler to read one document than trying to do an amendment that then modified back the other document. So largely that amended and restated development agreement is very similar to the original, very similar. And identical in many provisions as the original agreement. And then we just did addendums or amendments to the real estate purchase contracts to sort of flip that order and facilitate the development.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Richens.
In the event, Jim, if in the event that they don't win a tax credit award, what does the contract make provision for?
So if they don't get the LIHTC award, it gives them a short window period in which they can then purchase that property at the market rate, the fair market rate that we've had it appraised for, and then they can move forward on closing and doing a market rate project. And then we have requirements on quality as far as it being the same quality as the rest of the project.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff before we hear from the applicant? Mr. Kavanaugh.
Just to follow up on that, if the LIHTC project is not approved, I mean, what we're doing in the agreement, the original market rate would be going first, but if the LIHTC parcel does not receive approval from the state of Arizona, then you're giving the developer the ability, or first right of refusal, I suppose, to buy the proposed LIHTC property to do additional market rate. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, Mayor and Council Member, exactly. So what it effectively then becomes is an entire market rate project, because the first portion will have occurred, it will have been a market rate project, and then if they don't do the LIHTC, it'll become the second part. So the entire project then becomes a market rate project.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other questions for Mr. Smith? Any other information from staff? Okay. The applicant I know is present, Mr. Hugh Mantle, you're free to... make a presentation regarding your proposal, your
You've
project?
Heard from me several times. If it makes sense, I know there are a number of cards out here I'd respond after, and that might be a better use of everyone's time. I don't want to give up my opportunity to speak, so
no,
if you'd like your presentation, I'll do that as well now. But
no, that's fine. If you'd rather make your comments after we hear from the folks that have come with blue cards, that's fine.
Thank you
very much. Okay, that being the case, I know I have about 10 blue cards, and so I'm going to just read these off in the order that they came in. I would invite you, if I read your name, or when I read your name, to come to the microphone. Please introduce yourself, give us your address, and then you'll have a timer that will give you 3 minutes to speak. So thank you for being here with us. We're anxious to hear what you have to say. The first card that I have is from Tim Cowley. Yes, please step up to the microphone, Mr. Cowley.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Tim Cowley at 2309 East Grandview Circle in Mesa. I am in support of the project. I was here 3 years ago in support of the project, and a little bit about myself. I've been in Mesa, a resident, for 21 years. I am third-generation Arizonan. I work with a family business in the real estate development and investment industry, and we've owned properties within this area for the last 20 years. We lease and operate some businesses within the mile radius of these projects, these developments, and well over 200 people are employed in these businesses. And 3 years ago when we came here, we never saw the project other than on paper. I love what they've done and encourage more of this. I think it's been great to see some construction, some stuff coming up out of the ground. And again, I support it and encourage it, and we're behind it, our family and a lot of our employees, and these developers. It's kind of a close-knit, you know, family. I've known these developers. They're great people. They have a great project. This is a great product, and again, we encourage it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cowley. The next card is from Robert Bodine.
My name is Robert Bodine. I live at 615 West Camino Circle, and I am a fourth-generation Arizonan, and my family has been in Mesa since Mesa was a city. I live on the west side of Mesa, and I have never yet seen the council dislike a project that was earmarked for low income, high density. Our area in town includes way more than its share of that population. Not against that population, it's nothing bigoted. It's just that there needs to be equal sharing. And we are way over any percentage that you can possibly think of. Councilman Richens thinks this is a small vocal group that's just speaking out against it. Got to remind you that our country is founded by a small vocal group. A minority, actually. And it's not just a small vocal group. I speak for members of my family and extended family, which probably include about the one-eighth of the population, unfortunately. I would encourage the council that if this is such a wonderful project for you to approve, why do we have to give away the land when there is developers that expressed interest in RFPs, which would pay for that land? I look at that. And without adequate answers and research into that project, quote Shakespeare when he says something stinks. And I would encourage the council to reject this for the people who have lived in West Mesa, and particularly you council members that live in West Mesa. And you've seen what it's become. What we have in West Mesa, you continue to add to rather than to make better. And I, for one, and I know that the people that support me for two, will remember this vote when it comes time for elections. And I really sincerely hope that changes. and you can reconsider this particular project in that light. And treat West Mesa no different than you would East Mesa in terms of the percentage that are being occupied by that type of housing and housing development. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bodine. Next is Warren Bodine.
My name is Warren Bodine. My address is 624 West Contessa Circle. I have nothing to do with that guy. I'm here on behalf of Action Neighborhood Alliance, a small group in West Mesa. We have strong feelings in terms of the proportion of LIHTC housing that's being built and proposed in the downtown area and in our zip code of 85201. Mesa itself, specifically downtown Mesa, is becoming a destination city for LIHTC. That is soon going to be our legacy, your legacy, if we continue to stack the downtown corridor and the 85201 zip code with LIHTC housing projects, especially too when we have the opportunity for market rate housing here. I get a kick out of the idea that we're going to somehow do what Gilbert and Chandler has done with their downtown areas and reinvigorate the downtown areas. I'm quite sure that that was not accomplished with loads of LIHTC housing. And yet that seems as though that's what this council thinks is going to happen, thinks is what's going to supercharge downtown Mesa and bring in the kind of business and the kind of restaurants and the kind of atmosphere that our competing sister cities have. So I request that the council reconsider this vote that seems imminent. I request that you reject it. And maybe rather than hold loyalties to a developer who may contribute to your campaigns and take you golfing and eating a bunch, maybe extend a little loyalty to many of your constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodine. Next is Wallace Haas.
Mayor Giles, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Wallace Haas. I live at 560 South Spur in District 4 that this project is proposed for. I have lived in the city of Mesa for 35 years. I am a successful businessman, having started my own civil engineering firm and ran it successfully. I have some sense of value of projects and development. We do not need the affordable housing portion of this project. As been adequately stated here tonight, we have an overabundance of affordable housing. The amended agreement says that this project is vital and in the best interests of the city and the health, safety, and welfare of the residents. I don't understand how you can say that. How do you bring low-income housing into the city that already has an abundance of low-income housing and say it's in the best interests of the city? I would propose we need to be looking for developers that are going to bring something in that increases employment and that increases the tax base. And this is not a good deal. Looking at it from a capitalistic point of view, I would say that this piece of land that is stated to be worth $380,591 is being sold for $1. Now, that just doesn't seem right, but it seems like a really good deal for the developer. Now, if that's what you're willing to sell that for, I'm going to offer you another buck, and you'll make 100% on your money right here tonight. This is not a good deal for the city of Mesa. If you take no action, this agreement terminates, and you are in a position to renegotiate. You can go out. There's no pressing need for this to be developed now. you can go out and find other bids. You can make it a better project and come together with something that will truly benefit the city of Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hawes. Next is Mike Wright.
Mayor Giles, Councilman, thank you for this opportunity. You have heard from me before about this project. It's our general goal to oppose every LIHTC project in West Mesa. You're going to hear from us again anytime one comes up. Since the last time I spoke to you, we have lost the Best Buy store. The Fiesta Mall is pretty much dying. Other centers, Westwood Plaza, Southern and Country Club Shopping Center, and others are vacant. And if the city wants more tax revenue and more utilities revenue, it's got to upgrade the commercial in the area. That can only occur if the average income level of residents in the area increases. So long as you bring in low-income housing into the area, potential commercial interests, developers, are not going to see it as a viable area to develop. In the long range, the city must look at what is best for the community and not what is expedient to fill in a piece of property. The developer in this case is an excellent developer, a good person, Mr. Hermenthal, but he doesn't need the LIHTC property. If there is room for 24 units of market rate, there's room for more. There are other developers who could develop into market rate properties. We've got to reverse the trend of what's happened in West Mesa over the last couple of decades. The only way to do that is to reverse the policies and reverse the decisions that are made. So while we like the developer, as you seem to, we don't like the LIHTC portion of this property. We realize that it's been that there's been an agreement entered into, and the idea of developing the market rate property first, of course, is we don't oppose that. But there is no need for a LIHTC approval on this property. It can all be market rate, and I think the developer could make money doing it that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. D. Montague.
Mayor and council members, thank you for the opportunity to come again before you on this issue and other similar issues. My name is Dee Montague. I live at 553 North Orange Street. I'm an attorney. I'm not here representing anyone except myself, although I am a member of the steering committee of Mesa Grande Community Alliance and a board, member of the board of West Mesa CDC and the founding chairman of the Westwood Parents support group. And as we've talked about these kind of issues, we're concerned. I was quite encouraged at the end of the council discussion about the Mesa Drive and University property that took place a couple of weeks ago. And the question that Mr. Councilmember Thompson raised and his comment and confirmed in an email that he's concerned to do what the citizens want, particularly when it's a piece of land that's owned by the city. It's a little different thing when it's a piece of land owned by a developer. It's interesting to me that there haven't been any public meetings that I'm aware of on this proposal. We've been to public meetings on Sycamore Station, on Country Club in Maine, on Mesa Drive and University. Quite a vetting process to find out what the citizens want. But here, there has been no public meeting for that opportunity to give input. But I haven't talked to anybody who's in favor of more LIHTC. I agree with what Mr. Wright said, that the project Encore that's there is beautiful, seems to be high quality. But I also agree that there's no reason to give away at least $380,000 worth of property. That appraisal, as I understand, was more than a year old. We've now had a lot of other development. Sycamore Station, for example, being proposed now as a market rate project. What a great thing. It's what we've all been looking for. We've been looking for the day that the light rail would raise the type of projects that we get. There's simply no desire for any from any resident that's not a developer or a member of NEDCO or rail to have this as a low-income project with a tax credit. As the alternative proposal exists, if the LIHTC isn't approved, they'll go ahead market rate. They understand it's a good deal to do it market rate and buy the property. Why should we give a gift to them? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Montague. Lance Willis. Okay. Lance chooses not to speak. You bet. Tyler Montague.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm Tyler Montague. I live at 534 North Orange Street in Mesa, 52201. I would agree with what Mike Wright said. I think that's a good summary of my arguments, what I think about LIHTC. I think this council and past councils have done a great job developing the type of infrastructure that we need for renewal and reinvestment in our area. Efforts in the Fiesta District, the light rail, the MAC, the Cubs, and many other things have been done. And because of general economic conditions and these efforts, we are seeing new investment come in. And I think that the project at Main and Sycamore is a great example. I believe a year or two ago, that was up for a vote for a LIHTC project. This council rejected that. And we've been able to attract now a developer that's going to build a nice, higher-end market rate development with a significant ownership component and that will bring the type of spending dollars, residents with disposable income to the area that will help support the commercial ecosystem that will bring back the hospitals that have left, the banks that have left, the grocery stores that have left. It's simple marketing concept. We need dollars to live within the market area. And we have a lot of affordability and should probably on that basis avoid low-end projects and try and attract high-end projects. I would agree that the Encore project is an attractive project and probably the best example of a LIHTC project. I think it should be the standard going forth and that the I wouldn't mind seeing the same developer build on this plot, something that fulfilled the needs to diversify economically the area and bring the dollars. If the council could alter any way for it to be a market rate project or have the developer pay for the lot, full market rate, I think it would be more justified in terms of what we're putting in and getting out as a city. And so I would just offer that feedback and thank everyone here. I know each member of the council personally have supported all of you, I think, in one way or another. So I trust your judgment, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Montague. Tracy Langston.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. My name is Tracy Langston, and I am from District 1 at 1753 North Dresden. And I am also in opposition to Item 5C. I've learned a lot over the past few months about the long-term investment that the city and many organizations and many people are making in building a quality downtown. And I'm excited about that, and I can see that there's a lot of potential there. And so this project, this deal does concern me. There are some things that I have heard that are reasons that you would consider supporting it. And one of those is that there were other proposals, but this one was the best proposal. And I question that because I don't know exactly how long the window was open for those proposals, but looking at this is a piece of city-owned property. And so this is not something that there needs to be a timeline on. You can put those out for proposals, make a long window, see what you get as far as what can be brought in that is market rate, that is going to increase the spending power of the district and the downtown area. Also, I understand that it will be an investment in the area and also in the utilities, so we will receive money for things like building fees and utility return to the enterprise fund. But any project that comes in is going to have those types of benefits to the budget in the city. And so I just want you to consider that. That's not a reason to choose this project over a market rate project. And also I look at this and I think this is a $375,000 give or take gift, and every single one of your districts could benefit from $375,000 in investments. There are so many needs, whether it's Councilmember Luna's residents who want the, you know, the streetlights that don't make very much light, or whatever it is. But there are really serious needs, and there are also wants that, when you look at how the city is spending a city and taxpayer-owned resource, how are we using that? Are we using it wisely? Are we using it in the best interest of our residents? And I did receive a call right before I came, and I did tell this gentleman that I would mention it. He just found out about this an hour ago, and my number was on the flyer. Okay, so he called me as I was walking in, and his name's Brian Bender, and he is from Councilmember Thompson's district. I don't know the man, but he wanted me to encourage you, and especially his council member, to not support this, because not only is he a member of your district, but he also owns a townhome in downtown Mesa right across the street from the police station, and he understands that this is not going to improve his property value, and that's of concern to him for the future. So I thank you very much for your time, and good evening.
Thank you, Tracy. Next card is from DJ Stapley.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members, for your time and patience tonight and throughout your great work. And we appreciate your good intentions. In the little interaction I've had, I've perceived that every one of you, including Glover, who appears isn't here, have the intention to make Mesa a greater place, including downtown. And downtown Main Street is looking nice. I hear from other residents in Mesa and elsewhere that there's this feeling, this certain vibe that's starting to pick up on Main Street. And so we're grateful for the contribution you and past councils have had in doing that. We have, notwithstanding that my story is from the back door of the downtown Mesa, the neighborhoods next to it. I believe of the speakers, I live closest to Main Street, about four blocks away in the Can-Do neighborhood. And before I proceed with my remarks, I want to note that the agenda item was a little confusing. It did not mention LIHTC. It wasn't taken off the consent agenda, even though I requested it be taken off on Friday in an email I sent. I'm glad it was taken off, so that was taken care of. But just the overemphasis on the term market rate is, I think, a little bit unclear of what's really going on here. What's going on here is, it's according to the agenda item, alternatively developed as market rate project for the 71-unit portion. Is there a deed restriction saying that the entire site cannot be developed for certain affordable housing criteria? Is there any guarantee that we're getting that this will not be LIHTC? As far as I understand, LIHTC requires low-income units, and households that don't meet that very strict criteria are not permitted. It's a block on anyone who wants to live there. So it's just a quick comment before I begin. My son goes to Edison Elementary School. He's in second grade. In kindergarten, he had a best friend named Carlos. In first grade, Carlos was gone. Carlos lived in a concentrated high-density housing project within the elementary school boundaries. In first grade, Joseph asked us, where did Carlos go? He talked to all of his friends, and he had moved, apparently. He wasn't there anymore. The point is, when you over-concentrate poverty and low income in higher density units, it creates the feeling, a desire to be transient and not live there for long. Another feature is you need open space that's partially privately owned. And the Encore project doesn't provide that. It looks beautiful on the inside, but there's little outdoor garden space for the seniors there and others to benefit from it. I disagree with others who say that the Encore project is the best type of design there. It trumps the historic building right next door so much, it hardly is noticeable, even though there's that little plaza there. This building should have been stepped back a little more, which shows a little bit of disrespect for the heritage and culture of the area. The solution is to use federal money to upgrade the existing housing in the area and to promote integrated housing into the neighborhoods. My neighbors, who are minorities, who we are helping get back on their own 2 feet, had lived in a 30-year-old apartment project on Main Street. 30 years ago, it was the design style of the day. The developers loved it. It had meandering pathways. It was set back from the street. It had landscaping in front. It was deemed the architectural style that would contribute to good housing for the day. And it did for a long time. Another example would be Legacy, which used to be senior housing. But over time, thank you for laughing. We've seen that more than once in emails as well.
I was laughing at Courtney in the back, who's on Facebook Live, and I just sent him a smiley face, and he laughed at me.
So okay. Courtney is funny. I like that. I like that guy.
You're welcome,
Courtney. Mr. Stapley, I just wanted to
point my time
your,
up.
Your time's up, so if you could wrap it up.
Thank you. Then I'll just conclude. Where is Carlos? We want mixed income, a little bit lower density in the area. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stapley. The last card I have is from Jeff Sherman.
Hi there. My name is Jeff Sherman, and a little bit of background on who I am is I specialize in selling both market-rate multifamily projects as well as low-income housing tax credit multifamily buildings throughout the southwestern United States. And so, you know, I think I have particular purview as to the impact it's had on, you know, certain markets throughout the Southwest and other cities. And what I've found in my experience is in places that I've seen some similar projects completed, such as in downtown Phoenix, it has not had, especially when there is a market rate component, hasn't had an undue impact on values in the neighborhood. And I think that's of a particular significance in the city of Mesa. I think a lot of developers, particularly in downtown Mesa, are a little bit tepid and cautious as to how to locate land and purchase assets because they're not sure if rents are going to support those new market rate projects. And so I think that the market rate component of this really helps provide some evidence for that. While I do also think that there's a nuance with respect to the low-income housing tax credit component going in that it is senior. And I've found that that senior impact is a lot more muted than the traditional, you know, family impact of, you know, most of the tenants being at, you know, 50-60% of median area income. The other thing that, you know, I think is interesting or to really discuss is the fact that when you're trying to, you know, develop a downtown, I think building infill product in general, gives you some critical mass and encourages further investment down the line. So I think that critical mass is important. And if you provide good product on open land, and also give evidence to developers who are probably looking to get their toe in the water in this part of town by virtue of providing them a market rate component, I think that solves two problems that I think that the city of downtown Mesa could benefit from. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. And I apologize, there was a card that I overlooked. Mr. Brosman, Derek Brosman.
Last but not least, right?
Yes, no.
Not at all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilman. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. I do not support this proposal. I'm not quite as soft, I guess, as DJ. Love DJ, he's great. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, one of the things I want to avoid talking about is the pros and the cons or the merits for LIHTC. Irrelevant to me right now. What I'd like to say is we recently just had a proposal for question one. And in question one, we were asked to have our taxes raised for ASU, police officers, and fire. So I find it very strange how we are so willing as a city to give away a property that's valued, some say, between $300,000-$400,000, when you're asking me to raise my you're raising my taxes, you're asking me to vote to raise my taxes for that for things the city needs. Now, do we have money or do we not have money? So I did a little math. If the starting salary of a police officer is $50,000, if we sell that piece of property for $400,000 or $300,000 or whatever the price is, how many police officers can we hire for 1 year? That's about seven. What are we doing, gentlemen? Giving away our heritage property. It's not fair. Our children deserve better than this. I would say, from the last person that spoke, 71 units versus 24 units is not a nuance. I would also say that the people supporting this project are for the most part, developers. Regular folks like myself who live down the street do not support this. We want better for our communities. I hope you will take a hard look at that. If you're going to raise my taxes, don't give away our property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Progman. That was the last speaker, so I won't chastise people for clapping. Mr. Humantle, the applicant, I'd invite you to come forward and tell us what you'd like us to hear about your project.
Thank you. A number of the speakers that were here today either were here before and have had a chance to speak with you about these issues, or raise similar issues. And I think I mentioned then that it's a good thing that people are passionate. It's a big part of what makes Mesa great. And we heard lots of different things tonight, all of which, you know, some people think one thing about our project, something people think another. 3 years ago, we stood here and we said that we would bring the first project, first project into downtown Mesa, and I think it was 30 years. And we did, and it filled up, and we built a second one. And I appreciate the people that came down here and said good things about our project. I know that especially when they don't want LIHTC projects, that's tough to do. But much like General Motors makes lots of cars, they make Cadillacs and they make Chevys, affordable product is not all the same. And there are different kinds of affordable product. We've heard a lot of discussion. I think we heard about somebody's school classmate who didn't come back the next year. I'm not sure I totally understood where he was going with it, but that would be a family project. And what we're talking about is a senior project. And the two projects that we have here today are senior projects. And so the people that are living in those projects are people who are over 55. And they love living downtown. And to hear the comments, it's almost like that maybe they're not good residents, but they're great residents. And the residents that live downtown, we've given them a great place to live. They work at the museum. They work at the library. They come to council meetings, and I think sometimes they even send emails, which not always probably sometimes appreciated, sometimes probably not. But that's part of being a resident of the downtown area. There was a concern about whether or not we provide outdoor space. I think you would find, it'd be hard-pressed, frankly, to find a project that has less, that doesn't have less outdoor space. We have a significant area as you come in with a fountain that's open not just to our residents, but it's sort of quasi-public. It's actually open to people who happen to be walking down the street. More importantly, in both projects, we've changed the street so much in such a positive way that the city itself is looking to modify. Modified streetscape. We have designed the projects that we've done specifically to be transformative, and we think that that's happened. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't problems with all kinds of different projects, but we can't address what happens to all kinds of multifamily housing or even all kinds of LIHTC. What we can do is talk about what we've done in downtown Mesa. Yeah.
Okay, that one there.
One second, please. Thank you. I don't know why I whispered. It's in the microphone. Everybody can hear it. So that was... When we started, this was a surface parking lot that was hardly ever used. And we have been able to create a very different environment than a broken-up parking lot. The people talk about whether or not we have outdoor space. Here's a beautiful shot of a beautiful building that has outdoor space. But it's also the home to people, people who now live in downtown Mesa. I should add that when we opened our second building, we filled it up 100% before we even opened the building. We had 100% rental before that. That told us there was, in fact, need for people who were over 55 to live in a walkable area, to be able to use the light rail. But we're not just talking about low-income tax credit projects today. We're also talking about being the first to build a market rate project. We'd like to use the same quality of design, the same quality of transformative pedestrian design, to put 24 units in of market. And I've heard different people say different things about that, but the simple fact of the matter is we'll be the first to do that. There's been a lot of talk tonight about what values are. Well, we're willing to do it. Just like we came here 3 years ago and said we'd be the first to build a building, we did. In fact, one of the nicest compliments I think I've ever received is I was talking to someone from your city attorney's office one day, and they commented that they were surprised that the building we built looked exactly like the rendering. It matters. We came and we did something, and it was exactly the thing we said we would do. And it has made that part of downtown Mesa better. And we think that being the first to provide market rate units, 24 market rate units, is going to help other people decide to come down here and build market rate units. Somebody's got to do it first, and it's a frightening thing to do. We think that we're doing it in a calculated way. We're going to design, just like even the people who don't like what we do have said we have good product, we're really proud of the fact that we have good product. You'll have good product here, too. We're going to build really good units, the 24 units. Even the people that don't like them, we hope will come back and say, but that's a really good unit. They do a good job. And those units, those 24 units, will help test the market. Part of the problem with building market rate projects is you have to get them financed. And to get them financed, you have to be able to prove the rents. To prove the rents, you have to look at rents. And there simply isn't new product downtown because people haven't done it for 30 years. And so what we have embarked upon here with you as council members, with your staff, with other members of the community, is to try to transform this area of a parking lot into an urban destination that makes sense for a downtown with an art museum and rail stops, with restaurants and other things. And the people that will move into these projects, the 24 units as well as the additional ITEC units, are going to help bring people downtown. And ultimately, what a downtown needs is a critical mass. It needs more people. I don't think it's helpful for me to go over every comment that was raised. In some cases, we just reasonably disagree. But I'm happy to do that if that's the council's desire, or I'm happy to answer specific questions.
Thank you, Mr. Humantle. Council, are there any questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Humantle. Council, any comments or discussion on this item? Mr. Finter?
I didn't want to be the first to go. I was waiting for others. So just some observations. Folks have brought some things up that have spoken to us, and I appreciate everybody coming out. I wanted to remind, I heard the comment, well, this council seems so ready to do LIHTC projects and so willing to do. And I was counting back in the recent history. I think we've stopped at least six different projects, LIHTC projects, in West Mesa. And they were a fight. I remember some of the folks that are here tonight were here for those, and I would call those victories. Some impact. You're definitely, as you give this feedback, I wouldn't say you look at this council and think that we approve every LIHTC project that comes along. I can name off six of them. The other thing, these are a little bit random, so bear with me. If you want to stay around and see some real irony, stay around for our speakers at the end of this meeting. We're going to accuse us of doing exactly the opposite of what these neighbors think that we're doing now. They'll accuse us that we've tried to take out low-income housing for new, future, better redevelopment and projects. So it's really ironic. We're catching it from both sides. But since this is our second to the last meeting, I'm just going to throw some of this out here, at least for three of us that are leaving the council. You know, giving a little example, we're talking about senior housing now. And I do understand where some people have some apprehension about some of these housing LIHTC projects that come in for senior housing. So I have the opportunity in District 2, which is out towards east of Gilbert Road in the southeast part of the city. We have a sea of trailer parks that are out there, old trailer parks. Some of these trailers are 1940s, 1950s. They're filled with literally thousands of elderly who are trying to get by on their Social Security check. And they've owned these, you know, trailer homes, manufactured homes, whatever the proper way to say that, for decades. But now what they're finding is those are literally falling apart, unsafe, but their Social Security check won't cover it anymore. And so I've had the occasion, had a couple of elderly widows that needed a place to go. And my first thought was, hey, Encore, beautiful, safe, clean place for these women to go to. Directed them to make some calls, found out that that place was filled and gone before it ever opened, and even the second phase also. So I would suggest as a council member in District 2 and for the future council member, we have a huge problem in this city of older people, more than 55, that are not going to be able to sustain themselves in their current housing situations and are going to need some alternative projects. I think it's going to be a huge problem for this city in the, as we go down the road. So when I look at this project, I look at the opportunity to say, where can I put an elderly widow that's on Social Security that will go to a bank, will go to a grocery store. What was the other one, Tyler, you said? Anyway, buy groceries, other things. They may not have the demographic income that some of us are hoping for to get a lively downtown. So I've gone too long, but I've tried to keep an open mind on this and look at the you know, the opportunities. Oh, the one little shot I wanted to throw back, I've never taken a dime from this developer. I've never gone golfing with him. You know, I can honestly tell you I barely know the guy. But what I have seen is phase one and two, and you saw it on the pictures, pretty amazing project. And that came in at a time when nobody would touch this city because we were in the Great Recession. So adding all of that in, my tendency would be to support this project and as it goes through. I'm hoping that he doesn't get his LIHTC designation down the road. He's already missed it once, and I'm saying this honestly to him. And I told him this earlier, and so hopefully we'll get all market rate housing in that complex, and it'll be a benefit for the city. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Fender. Additional comments?
Mr. Richens?
I better say something because most of these folks come from my neighborhood, so I'm glad you're out, and I've enjoyed the healthy interaction with you guys on Facebook. I think it gets a little disrespectful sometimes, but we all have a tendency to have some keyboard activism. We're a lot more brave behind our keyboards than we are in face-to-face, and I appreciate how respectful you guys have been as you've come here tonight. I do give a lot of credit to the development team that did come to downtown when nobody else would. It was the first privately financed private development in what, 20 years in downtown, about that. And he's always done what he said he was going to do, and I do appreciate that. There were other projects that came as a result of the RFP, but and I've tried to explain to many of my neighbors that not all is what it appears sometimes with these projects. Other people who were proposing, you know, quote-unquote market rate projects at the same time asked for concessions from the city that would erode any sale of the property. So, you know, whether it's worth a dollar or $380,000 or whatever the number is, the other projects all wanted utility discounts, free permit fees, wanted us to install the utilities, wanted us to do all the street improvements. And we start adding all that up, it exceeded the value of the property. Now, one of the arguments that I found a little, speaking of irony here, is that there was one gentleman who made a generous offer of $2 for the property, and I appreciate the device that was used there in your argument. But there's a complaint that we're giving away this land for a dollar, and then there's the implication that it's worth so much more. And then there's the counterargument again that everything's going to be worth less because we're putting in affordable housing. So I'm having a hard time understanding how all of our property values are going to go down, yet the parcel right next door to a bunch of affordable housing is now worth more after a year because it was built next to affordable. I mean, it just doesn't make logical sense. It's, you know, so either it's worth more because we have a quality project there, or it's worth dramatically less because we have affordable housing next door, but it can't be both. So my opinion is that we have it priced right to bring another great quality project to downtown. I'm excited for the other projects that have been proposed. There's another project on the corner of Country Club that's a market rate project. There's, I think, Sycamore Station was brought up, which is neat. You know, and Alex is right. We've rejected several projects that didn't meet the standard that we had for low-income housing. And there is a standard there, and it's a high standard. And Mr. Humantle has, in my opinion, set the standard in the valley. Throughout the valley, projects of this kind come to Mesa to see what quality looks like. And I appreciate him setting that development standard because I do think it's quality. I would be proud to live in that facility. So I'll be supporting this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richens. Any other comments?
I've been outspoken on this project over the last year and over the last month, so I don't think it's any, there's no secret as to where I'm at on this one. I appreciate the civility of the presentations tonight from the applicant and from those who oppose it. I think we all agree that we're proud of the Encore project, and I'll join the chorus of praise for this council for taking the risk to do the original Encore project. And I'll praise the applicant for stepping up to take a chance in downtown Mesa. But I think that by definition, LIHTC projects are very lucrative projects. They're pretty much guaranteed to be successful. And so the applicant has been richly rewarded for his investment. These are very lucrative projects. So thank you for doing it. But I don't believe making that initial investment does away with the need to analyze step by step through the process what we ought to do with the remaining property. I absolutely am anxious for that property to become housing. So I don't oppose the quality of the project. I don't oppose the location. My opposition to this has always been the lack of due process involved in making this decision. A year ago, I was anxious for us to force this through an RFP process, and we did that, but it was done in a rushed manner. And even in spite of that very abbreviated period of time that we had open for that RFP, we still got some responses and some that literally came in within hours of the deadline. And so we made the decision that we made a year ago, and I disagreed with it, but I respect it. Now that the tax credits weren't awarded, this gave us another opportunity to do this correctly and to put it out in with the proper amount of due process, so that it might be that this project is the highest and best use and the best project and that we ought to do it. But I frankly don't know. I do know that there were unsolicited offers that have come in, like Mr. Humantle's, offering to build market rate housing there. So that leads me to believe that if we advertise and we put out an RFP, that we'd get probably a nice selection of projects to choose from. Some of them might be requesting offsets from the city that would make the math clear that they're not the right thing to do. And we might reasonably come to the conclusion that this project is the highest and best thing that we can do with that piece of property. On the other hand, there is no urgency for the city of Mesa to build this project out in the next year or so. The economy in downtown Mesa is changing. The effects of light rail are real. The property values all along the light rail corridor are climbing. And there's no urgency at all for us to hurry and develop this piece of property. So I think we could reasonably conclude after going through due process that that maybe the time is not right to do this. This is a strategic piece of property that's owned by the city of Mesa. So I think that we can't look at it as just another housing development. What we need there is, I would argue, we don't even need market rate housing. What we need is above market rate housing so that we can influence the development of that part of our town. So for those reasons, I will be opposing this project. But I would be happy to entertain a motion on this agenda item.
Got it.
Thank you. Motion has been made by Mr. Cavanaugh and seconded by Councilmember Luna. Please cast your vote. Thank you. The vote is 5 in favor, Councilmember Glover absent, and myself opposing the project. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is agenda item 7B.
Excuse me, sir. ¿Por qué no nos permitió hablar a nosotros?
No, sí, sí
van a hablar hasta el último. La dejó hasta el último.
Sí van a hablar.
La dejó hasta el último.
Okay, the next item is 7B. Let me read that into the record what that is. This is zoning case 16-1226, located on the 200 to 400 blocks of North Power Road and south of the 6800 to 7000 block of East University Drive, located east of Power Road and south of University Drive, involving 15.8 plus or minus acres, rezoning from LC to RSL 2.5 PAD and site plan review. This request will allow the development of a single resident subdivision. Mark Bugmeyer, Highland Communities LLC applicant, Highland Communities LLC owner. Thank you. Gentlemen, you are the applicants, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Just Mr. Wes.
Thank you. Mr. Wesley, can you give us a brief history of where we're at on this project, please?
Mr. Mayor and Council, as stated, this is a property at the southeast corner of Power and University. It's kind of isolated from the actual street frontage itself. It's been considered a potential for commercial property in the past, but had a hard time developing because of lack of access. Mr. Pugmire has come forward with a request to rezone the property to the RSL, which is a small lot, single family residential district, to build a residential community, small lot, alley loaded homes. It's been through the typical public hearing process with review by the Planning and Zoning Board. They've recommended approval as well as the staff. There's been a little bit of interchange with one of the property owners abutting this along University with regard to access between their two properties because they share a joint access. And that's a result of some of the discussion this evening that Mr. Pugmire is going to address some of the solutions to that.
Thank you, Mr. Wesley. Mr. Pugmire, we do have one request to speak, but I'll allow you to go first if you'd like, and then we'll hear from the person that's requested to speak.
Mr. Mayor,
if you'd like to defer your comments till after that, you're welcome
to do prefer that. The one who submitted the card asked me to come first, and they said they want to just come up and agree. Do I?
Well,
that's still the way you want it done?
Why don't I talk first?
Okay.
Okay, now he's changed.
Great.
So
thank you. Then
I'll defer.
Then please take a seat, and we'll have you back up. Mr. Don Vance. I'm sorry. I apologize. Don Nance. Excuse me, Mr. Nance.
Nace.
Nace. That's all right. Excuse me.
It's a four-letter word, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Nace.
Hopefully it won't stay that way. My name is Don Nace, and I live at 3429 East Indigo Circle in Mesa 85213. Yes, I have the sole piece of property that's kind of engulfed by this development. I've been the sole guy out there for a long time, the past decade, shooing off people, trying to keep house around the neighborhood. It had a number of different types of businesses in there. It was a strange little area, tough to manage, tough to have anything viable there. About a year and a half ago, a Broadway Christian Church came to me and said, we have an outreach program. It's just growing and growing and growing for the need of some of the homeless people and the people in need for food and clothing. He said he didn't know whether they could fit it into their budget or whatever they were doing, but they wanted to work with me. We spent the next 8 to 10 months going over things, what we could do to the facility, how we could, we'd have a lot of bookings because we had a, it was a kind of a private party house. So we had to work through those, try to cancel what ones we had. They had to bring in their people, part of their congregation to do improvements to the property over a period of time. So we let them do that, didn't charge them rent as we made that transition. One of the reasons they wanted to move is that in their neighborhood, they were starting to purchase homes, putting these outreach programs into their neighborhood. They felt it was not conducive to their community effort, and so they wanted to go to a commercial facility, particularly a place that was in the middle of nowhere, and it worked out good for them. It's the very first day they serviced over 120 people. And this is all through donations and the work of their volunteers. They're a large church, a lot of volunteers. In fact, they have more volunteers than they have places to put them. So when a development came along for this, we're all in favor of it. Mr. Pugmire's been quite forthcoming with me in the need. They had some financial needs there. The product I was not real crazy about, but after I saw how it was laid out, it seems to be something that he feels comfortable about selling. These homes are going to be in the $250,000 range, maybe some less, maybe some more. I think the aspect of ever having a shopping center there was put to demise by property being sold along Power. So there really was not much of an entrance for a shopping center kind of thing. I'd always thought it might be apartments. So this is an offshoot of that. It's a single family. That's fine by us. I guess the problem that I have is that you're going to change all the commercial to residential. Okay, and I understand the aspect of it. But what has transpired is they want to do residential around my commercial piece. I want to be a good neighbor. I've had some issues with making sure I still had my same entrance that I've been using for 35 years, or the people before me had used for 35 years, and that easement was there. I got the assurance today from Mr. Pugmire that, and some wording that we're just going to read in, that I'm fine with that. The only aspect I have here is it's fairly dense. There's 80-some units there. I get encircled. The planning committee had explained to me that this is part of the village plan, the village concept. I tried to understand what the village concept is, and I've seen a few where you have some commercial development that's allowed into residential. It might be a boutique shop. It might be a small daytime operation. It might be a deli type of things where people can go from their home and walk to these shops or stores or whatever it might be. The thing is that in this area, particularly around us, if we're going to have any of that, we need some commercial, and the commercial is going to be taken up by the residential. So those few little pieces next to me that could service a few small shops and things are going to be taken for housing. So I start to wonder in myself, if it's this village concept, where are the village concept portions of this? It's obviously not the food bank. That's not a walk up for $250,000 homes. There is a gas station, and there is a veterinary clinic. That is the only thing, unless you want to cross Power Road, and then there's nothing on the other side except gas stations, and it's not the village concept. If we don't have at least a few little pieces in there to be developed, then I think the argument that this is a village concept, it kind of goes away. So my request be that if the portion, which I call the north portion of the neighborhood street that runs east and west, there's 13 units that sit there, basically that engulf my property. I think there's a way to make a few less homes. There's argument whether they'd lose six or whether they'd lose eight or how many would be lost in that configuration. It could be made up by something else. So I would be in favor of saying...
I don't want to interrupt you, Mr. Nace, but you're a few minutes over. Okay. If you could just kind of summarize for us.
The summary is that what I have the problem with is the zoning around my particular property as argued as a village concept. And I don't see the village concept actuality there. And I respectfully wish that you would give him his project, but limit the residential development around commercial. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you, Mr. Nace. Mr. Pugmire.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council, my name is Mark Pugmire. Our company address is 1425 South Higley Road in Gilbert. The project itself, I think, is a good answer to what is possible and feasible and commercially feasible there. I think that's been proven. We've been owners of this property for about 22 years and have tried to do some commercial development with it, and we have not had commercial acceptance. And I think the proposal we have now is very viable. I think it will add to the community in this area. And I think the idea of trying to have one-acre parcels on the east and west side of Mr. Nance's property, I don't think is very feasible. Even if it is feasible, I don't think it's right. We own the property. Mr. Nate isn't able to purchase that property from us at this time. I know he would like to, but he can't do it. I think our proposal is what's proper this time. Mr. Nace did ask for this proposal to be taken off the consent agenda to assure the viability of the continuation of his current access. He has access to his property through easements off of University Road, and we're in the same boat. Our access to our property from University comes through easements. The main portion of our property and access is off of Power Road, but there will be an emergency access to University that will come through an easement, which we've secured. I want to read into the record for Mr. Nace that we agree to provide the same access that he currently has, subject to the City of Mesa development standards for what we need to do to that little bit of an access road coming off University Road. And I'll read the way we said it. Whether or not this is the right way, I don't know. But Highland agrees to provide access to provision management for these parcels by, number one, an island divider, which currently exists, two drivable lanes on the east and west side of the island divider, which currently exist, and curbless access from those east and west lanes onto the precision management parking lot. We also agree that we will put our security gate that provides the access, the emergency access to this location, to this access road, as close to lot 39 on the site plan as possible. That's what we agreed, and I hope that that does enough. I hope that you see fit to approve this project.
Thank you, Mr. Pugmire. Mr. Wesley, the statement that Mr. Pugmire just made, does that have any legal effect? I mean, he appears willing to stipulate to amend this proposal to make accommodations for the access that Mr. Nace is asking for. The language that he just read to us, I think, attempts to do that. Do we need to go back and add that language to any of our documentation, or what's the best way to proceed?
Mayor and Council, there's already a stipulation in the zoning case that says they're going to work out this driveway and this access as part of a final site plan to be submitted to staff prior to their building permits. What he's proposing now is very similar to what's actually there, a little bit different than what was on the site plan, but works to implement that stipulation. I think based on his statements here, his intention to do that, understanding that the approval is subject to that, I think we can just work with him as staff in that final site plan to ensure that what's been presented tonight is what will be in that site plan.
Okay, so to restate what you just said, before staff gives final approval, the issue of the access and the language that he has just read to us will be made final, and Mr. Nace will get an opportunity to review that as well. Is that you understand, Mr. Nace? Thank you. Mr. Nace indicated that was okay with him. I would entertain a motion on this item. Actually, it's already been made by Mr. Luna and seconded by Mr. Kavanaugh. I'll please cast your vote. The vote is unanimous in favor of the applicant with the Councilmember Glover absent. Mr. Nace, I just want to point out that I think the last time I met you was out at your facility, and thank you for allowing the human services organizations that are using your building to be out there with the food bank and the other good work that's going on out there. So we appreciate that. Those are all of the items that we have. I'm sorry. Now we're on our agenda items, so now we'll move on to item 9, items from citizens present. I do have three requests to speak. The first is from Barbara Alexandra Eads. Barbara, welcome.
Hi. Good evening. I'm Barbara Alexandra Eads, 2261 East Caballero Circle. I just want to comment on the property that I discussed with you last week. The 2.11 acres located east of Gilbert Road on the north side of University. We thank the developer for the addition of the 24-inch boxed fast-growing trees on plots 1 through 8. We thank him for those. We hope that they see this as an asset to their property as well as to our boundary. So we are grateful. Thank you, Mr. Richens, for listening to our concerns about privacy. On the traffic concerns, those were also answered. We appreciate that, but we will be watching traffic in that area. Just in come back and notify you of any problems. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for being here and for speaking out. Next card I have is from Ivy Koppel. Ivy?
Hi, you guys. It's nice to see you again. Ivy Capo, 8540 East McDowell. So I have a new address, so I had to think about that one. Back again on Ghost Rider 2015. We were supposed to get this accomplished, and I believe we're going into 2017. So let's try again. I don't know the three of you that are leaving, but if you could put a good word in for me, that would be great. So I kind of didn't stop from where I left off last time. The bill that was passed, unfortunately, had some weighted language that gave three homeowners the power to stop and fix a subdivision that's been broken for over 10 years. So that's kind of unfortunate, just with the weight of that language. And we're going to try to rewrite it and fix it and move on. But in the meantime, I still continued to dig and pushed the Department of Real Estate to release some documents that I had asked for originally in 2015, and all of a sudden it has been released now, which is kind of great, but I want to share it with you guys. 2005, multiple investigations were opened from Maricopa County itself. There is over 28 violations and over 9 people that were charged with Class 5 felonies. It's an incredible document. I'd love to share it all with you. It's really what started Ghost Rider as an illegal subdivision. It's defined groups working in concert, no public report, multiple people, multiple violations. And it kind of ties this all back in that I truly believe that if the Department of Real Estate would have stopped Ghost Rider and would have had the proper steps done, taken the proper steps, the annexation would have never occurred. I don't believe the city of Mesa would have annexed an illegal subdivision in the first place, nor one that has over 28 charges on it. So we're kind of still in that same boat, and it's just, how do we fix Ghost Rider? We're still not in a subdivision. Nothing on record shows that we're a subdivision. I'm platted as meets and bounds as an individual parcel, but we are held to this subdivision standard, and also I'm told that I'm always tied into Ghost Rider no matter what. It just never makes sense, so what I'm asking you guys is let's work together this year. Let's get the Department of Real Estate and hold them accountable for what they missed. We've got 3 huge investigations that we should all be looking into and see if this many documents, deeds, everything that they found, there are pages of conclusions that outline all the violations. Let's hold them accountable. Let's come up with a solution together because I, again, don't believe that the city of Mesa, if you would have known that all this was taking place, that you'd have ever done an annexation with those same exact people that are outlined in the 28 charges. So I'm asking you for help. I think last time I asked to be placed on the formal agenda, I would ask that request again. Let's team up. We've got everyone at the state is paying attention, the Department of Real Estate, the commissioner. I know that we can come up with a solution. If myself can come up with a bill all by myself and get it passed, the power of all of us working together with the governor, the attorney general, the city, the Department of Real Estate can come up with a solution to fix Ghost Rider. Nobody should be in a place where we're locked down with no rights to build. We have no rights to water, sewer, and we're asking again for help. I'm asking specifically for help from you guys. So that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivy. I think, you know, we can't respond directly to this item because it's not on our agenda, but I'm sure there'll be conversations with you and city staff later following up on this.
Mayor, Mr. Richards, could we refer her to the Transportation Infrastructure Committee for an agenda hearing? Is that something that, is that where that kind of thing would be heard? Okay.
So those are the types of discussions that we'll have and get back to you.
Who's the SAT chair currently?
That's Mr. Councilmember
Thompson. Mm-hmm. And so he sets the agenda for that, so maybe she could get in touch with him about agenda setting. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The last card we have is from Yolanda Triana. Yolanda, please come forward.
Due to time, Yolanda told me she's going to read part of her letter in Spanish and wants me to reread it back to you in English.
Okay, so given that we're translation is taking place, we will set aside 6 minutes rather than three for your presentation.
Thank you.
So if you could please set the clock for 6 minutes. Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre, Yolanda Triana. Vengo de 644 West Main Street, Lote 46, Mesa, Arizona, 85201.
Good evening. My name is Yolanda, and I live at 640K.
Y cuatro.
It's 644.
644 West Main.
West Main Street.
Street, Lote 46.
Lot 46, Mesa, Arizona.
Sí. Antes de que comience mi turno de hablar pública y oficialmente, vamos a entregarles una carta de la cual vamos a hablar.
Before I start my time talking publicly, we're going to deliver a letter to each one of the council members.
Es una carta para cada uno de ustedes.
It's a letter for each one of you.
La original es para el chair, mayor.
The original is for Mayor Giles.
Bien, inicio. Esta carta, quien la mandó, dice que la investigación ha comenzado. La Oficina de los Derechos Civiles del Departamento de Transportación de los Estados Unidos han abierto una investigación contra la ciudad de Mesa y la ciudad de Phoenix.
This letter, who was sent, states that the investigation has started from the Office of Civil Rights from the Department of Transportation of the United States, and they have advised... They have advised investigations against the city of Mesa and the city of Phoenix.
Porque el dinero del tren ligero viene de Phoenix a la ciudad de Mesa. Y ese es el dinero que inició todo este mugrero de discriminación contra las personas. Y será mejor para los intereses de la ciudad.
Because the money from the light rail came from Phoenix to the city of Mesa, and it is this money, this dirty money, that has started all this mess and discrimination against us persons.
Será mejor para los intereses de la ciudad que pare la discriminación y amenazas de desalojo sin indemnización u otras alternativas contra las personas de Mesa Royal Park, trailers de Mesa Royal Park. Y pues que comiencen a pensar de qué manera se llega a un mejor arreglo entre las personas afectadas.
It would be a better interest for the city to stop discriminating and threatening eviction without indemnization or other alternatives, and start thinking of a way they can reach a better arrangement between those that are affected.
La ciudad de Mesa ha discriminado federalmente a las personas que viven en el área del tren ligero. Y es hora de que deje de jugar sucio y nos deje en paz.
The city of Mesa has discriminated federally against the people that live in the area of the light rail. It is time that they stop playing dirty and leave us alone.
Como ya se han dado cuenta ustedes que viene la investigación federal, a ustedes supongo que ya les llegó una carta igual a la que se le entregó, porque ustedes han violado nuestros derechos de igualdad y el título 6 de lo que se está diciendo. Muchas gracias. Dios les bendiga y tengan buena noche.
Espérate, quédate aquí. Okay. Because as you have already seen, that the investigation is coming, the federal investigation is coming, and she supposes that you have already received that letter, because you have violated our rights and equality according to Title VI of what it states. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Ms. Triana. I'll just remind those who are here on this item that the City of Mesa has drafted a frequently asked questions document that addresses many of the issues related to Mesa Royale. It's been translated, it's in both English and Spanish, and I'd invite you to pick it up at the back of the room as if you haven't already received it.
Ya recibí esa carta, ya la vi. Pero el dueño antiguo, Jim Ham, con el antiguo dueño y ustedes, pues pienso que están vinculados porque hace poco fui a pedir un contrato de renta y me dice la muchacha, no te lo puedo dar en español.
She says she's already received that letter, she's already seen it, and she thinks that the city of Mesa and Mr. Ham, the previous owner, are involved together in this because she went not too long ago to renew her rental agreement, her lease agreement, and they told her that they can't offer her one in Spanish.
Me dijo la manager, no te puedo dar ese contrato en español porque la ciudad de Mesa no quiere que se los demos en español. Entonces digo, ¿por qué?
She stated that the lady told her that she cannot give her that contract in Spanish because the city of Mesa prohibits that that contract be given to her in Spanish, and that she asked why.
Okay, thank you for coming tonight and sharing your
questions. Thank you. Good night.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn. That's been made by Mr. Richens and seconded. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned.